So if everybody can put their phones on vibrate mode or switch off, that would be nice. So we'll start with the mudra chain, paying our obeisance as our preceptors. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 So the topic we're going to discuss today is based on the particular occasion over this weekend. So what was over this weekend? What are we celebrating?
Thanksgiving.
So Thanksgiving. So this was a Thanksgiving weekend. So the topic is, what is real Thanksgiving? Developing our attitude of gratitude. So I will like to make it a little interactive in between, if not throughout. So I will start with maybe a couple of questions. So what is Thanksgiving? So generally we speak on Bhagavad Gita, we take a verse of Bhagavad Gita and then build a topic based on that. So I will try to quote some verses from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam also in between as the topic goes on, flow goes on. So, what is Thanksgiving? Anybody, any volunteers, if somebody would like to describe what Thanksgiving is, what is the significance of Thanksgiving? No? Nobody?
I don't know if there's a...
Somebody said something?
Appreciation.
Appreciation. Okay, so Thanksgiving is a celebration of appreciation, giving appreciation to others.
Expressing
our gratitude for
the things that people have done for us.
So for people, what people have done for us. So generally, how is Thanksgiving being celebrated? So how is Thanksgiving being celebrated these days? How we celebrate? Yes, Mata. So chop off the head of turkey. So basically, eating, making merry. So there are so many occasions, so many festival celebrations throughout the year. We know the names of those festivals, maybe a little bit history background behind those celebrations. But in real sense, we don't know what is the real significance of that particular occasion. So everybody is celebrating Thanksgiving. We have a holiday, celebrate nicely, okay, enjoy. But nobody knows what is the great significance or real significance of a certain occasion. Some celebration or festival start based on a historical event in the past, and a festival comes up based on that. So how Thanksgiving is being celebrated these days? There is a holiday, people invite others for feast, so-called. So eat together, give some gifts, and people stand in big lines to do shopping. So that is the spirit of Thanksgiving these days, right? So it's thanks, giving thanks to yourself. Let me buy more and more and more. Let me stand in the lines, cold winter weather, hours and hours, so that I can enjoy better, I can enjoy more and more. So it's like, we are, when somebody eats peanuts, you know how they eat peanut? How we eat peanut? So you peel up, throw the peel, and eat the real peanut here inside. But nowadays, celebrations mean it's completely opposite. People are throwing the real giri inside and eating the peels. Because it's all just nonsense sacrifice, austerities we are doing. There's no real significance or real celebration, the real purpose of celebration behind that. So what Thanksgiving really means? So Thanksgiving, the name itself suggests giving thanks, right? Giving thanks to others. And whom should we give thanks to? Whom should we give thanks? To whom we love. Okay. Somebody said God, Vishnu. Any other answers?
Krishna.
Krishna. Vishnu, Krishna, I will take it. Same. So generally Thanksgiving, it's a occasion of showing our gratitude, right? And gratitude to be shown to each and everyone in our life, whoever has played any significant or little insignificant role also. So we should be giving thanks. It could be, so it's not just our friends, close family. Yes, of course it has to be, we have to thank our close family also. Sometimes we ignore that and we are worrying about thanking others. We forget to thank our real, very close family members. How many times we say thanks to our spouse? We most of the time neglect that part. So giving thanks to each and everyone who have played any role in our life. It could be our spouse, our children, our parents, our teachers, our friends, neighbors, our colleagues. And the topmost is the Supreme God. So that is the real essence, real meaning of thanking, being grateful for each and everything we have attained in life. Actually, being thankful for what we have got is very easy. What is not easy is to be thankful when you don't get what you want. Because we think, I want this, I will be thankful when I get that. Because we are judging from our perspective. This is what I need. So being thankful for everything we have got or whatever even you have not got. And when the Thanksgiving is to be celebrated, so generally every occasion there is a particular day reserved. Okay, today is Thanksgiving, today is Friends Day, today is Father's Day, today is Mother's Day. So in Western culture, everything has been put on one particular day. Does it mean, okay, we should be thanking only on that particular day? Father's Day means, okay, I should respect my father only on that day. So here in Westernized culture, it's everything one particular day. Based on the Vedic culture, there is nothing like as a Father's Day or Mother's Day because they are the intimate part of our life. So the day starts with respecting our parents, touching the feet of parents and elders. And the day ends with paying obeisances and then going to bed. So it's a part of our day-to-day life. But now it's on one particular day. Said, okay, at least think about your parents on that day. At least on one particular day, give thanks to others. So Thanksgiving is not a one particular day activity. It's a everyday activity. So every day we should be counting our blessings. We should be thanking the Lord for what we have got. thanking everybody else around us. So I said, it's very easy to be thankful for what we have got. But it's very difficult to show the real gratitude. So what the topic what we are discussing today is developing attitude of gratitude. So how we develop the attitude of gratitude and what it really means. So when we say attitude of gratitude, let's first discuss what is attitude and what is gratitude. Anybody would like to volunteer? Define what does attitude mean. See, sometimes people say, oh, that guy, he has a big attitude. Right? It's a common word saying, oh, that guy has a big attitude. What does attitude really mean? Actually, tell you, everybody has attitude. Attitude is everybody's intrinsic quality. But what does attitude really mean? What is the definition of attitude?
How we see things.
Anybody else?
Arrogance.
Characteristics of a particular person. So actually, attitude, as Prabhupada, everybody is correct to their perspective angle. The Prabhupada defined it correctly. Attitude means the way we see things. Right? Everybody, it's a perspective of our, the way of our looking at a certain thing. So when you go for a job interview, sometime manager will ask question to the candidate. How do you take criticism? If your team member are criticizing your idea, how you take criticism? So what is the purpose of asking that kind of question? Is to judge a person's attitude. Right? If he is able to handle certain situation, work in a team, those kind of things. So attitude is intrinsic quality. It's about if somebody has a good attitude or bad attitude. How somebody perceives things. So everybody is maybe familiar about a classical example. A glass half full glass of water. Somebody will say it's half full, somebody will say it's half empty. Right? It's a perspective of our looking at things. The same way if it's raining. Somebody will say, oh, why it's raining? It spoiled my all day. And somebody else will consider, oh, it's so nice, it's raining, I'm getting free water for my lawn. Right? So it's our way of looking at things. So attitude, now gratitude, what is gratitude?
Reciprocating.
So reciprocating.
To feel indebted to somebody.
To feel indebted to somebody. Thank you, I wanted to use that word. So to feel indebted to somebody, that is gratitude. So somebody defined actually, gratitude means great attitude. So because gratitude is a great quality of somebody's attitude. To be grateful to somebody is also great attitude. So developing attitude of gratitude, being grateful to others also is a great attitude. So we need to develop that quality. And especially being grateful to each and everyone. Once one person was very upset for something and he met his friend. So the friend asked, why are you so upset? He said, my wife, she's always troubling me. Today I asked for something to eat and she became so angry. I don't understand her. So the friend suggested, have you ever tried praising your wife? Have you ever praised her cooking? No, I never did actually. So why don't you try that? So try to praise your wife and maybe her behavior will change. So the person said, that's a good idea. So today I will go and whatever she serves, I will praise her. So he went home, wife served dinner. So as soon as he started eating, first bite, so nice dal, so nice chapati, so nice malai kofta, so nice rasgulla, even water is tasting so nice. And wife brought pailan and hit that person. I've been cooking for years and years, you never praised. Today I catered from Govinda's and you're glorifying him, glorifying him, glorifying him. So, being grateful, glorifying or praising somebody is good, but glorification doesn't have to be the act of the tongue. It has to be heart deep. But to develop the heart deep quality of gratitude, it has to start from tongue somewhere. So we need to be grateful to each and everyone in our life, no matter who he is. A lot of people have played significant role in our lives to shape our behavior, shape our lives. And every day we are counting so many blessings actually. If you look deeply, there are so many things given to us which we may not even recognize. But the problem with us is there is something called cancer of mind. There are so many type of cancers. So there is some type of cancer called cancer of mind. You know what that cancer is? We have the tendency to complain about everything, to compare with others, and then criticize others. So comparing with others, complaining about each and everything, criticizing others, these are the disease which hinders our attitude to develop the quality of gratitude. Isn't it true? We are always comparing with others. Oh, he got that, why I don't have that? And we have a complaining tendency. We don't appreciate whatever we are getting, but we are complaining always. And then criticizing others. Maybe it makes somebody feel better about himself. As we can, either we can raise ourselves up by improving our behavior or improving compared to others, but other way to make ourselves feel better is to put others down. Right? If you put somebody down, you yourself feel little superior. So that is the tendency of criticizing others. And we are not counting our blessings because of this comparison tendencies. We are always comparing. Oh, he had got this thing better than me. He is famous than me. He is more wealthier than me. He is well settled than me. All this comparison is going on and on. Because of that, we are not able to feel grateful for what we have got. Once one person, he prayed to Lord. And Lord appeared in front of him. What do you want? I will tell you later what I want. First, I want some other thing. So, God said, okay, whatever you ask me, you never will get double than that. Are you okay with that? So, I did so much, and whatever will I get, my neighbor will get double. So, he started thinking, what should I do? So, he said, okay, take my one arm away. What happened? Neighbor lost both. Oh, very nice. So, I have one arm at least. He doesn't have any. Then take my one leg away. So, neighbor got both. So, take my one eye away. Neighbor lost both eyes. So, we feel happy seeing somebody in trouble rather than counting our blessings. So, rather than feeling great about what I have got, the tendency is to put others in trouble, to compare with others. The same thing from a pastime of Lord Krishna killing Narakasura. So, Lord, when Indra was in trouble, Indra came to Lord Krishna, please help me. This demon Narakasura, he took over my kingdom. So please save me. And Lord Krishna, he went to kill Narakasura. And to go to kill Narakasura, he took among all his wives, he took Satyabhama with him. So Satyabhama is feeling very proud. See, I am the most loving wife of Lord Krishna. He took me, he chose me over all other 16,107. So I am the chosen one. And when Lord Krishna killed Narakasura, he gave the kingdom back to Indra. Indra is feeling very happy. And he is thanking Krishna. Because as I said, it's very easy to be grateful when you get what you want. So Indra is very grateful to Lord Krishna. So thank you very much. And he gave one flower, Parijat flower, to Krishna when he was leaving back. So Krishna came and gave that one flower to Rukmini. So now Satyabhama, who was feeling so proud that I am the one, I am the chosen one, Krishna took me with him. So now she started comparing, how come Rukmini got this flower? I should have got that. So she desired, I want not just one flower, I want the whole tree. I want the whole Parijat tree. So what is this characteristic shown here? Comparing with others. I want better than him or her. So Krishna, to please her, to satisfy her desire, Krishna goes to Swargalok and he starts taking the Parijat tree. Now Indra. So first of all, Indra has lost his whole kingdom. Because of Krishna, he got it back. Now Krishna wanted to take one tree from Swarga, and Indra says, how dare you take this tree? This is my tree. It belongs to Swarga, it belongs to us, the Suras. And he started fighting with Krishna. Of course, Krishna defeated him. So again, the tendency shown is, we want more and more and more. And rather than being grateful, we are in competition. So Krishna defeated Indra, took the tree finally. So with this story also, we see it's always these tendencies are going on. Comparing with others. Criticizing others. Because of that, it's become very hard to have a grateful heart. And every day, same way, there are so many gifts given to us in nature. Every day we are utilizing so many resources from nature. But we don't realize that. Anybody can tell what gifts we are receiving every day?
Water to drink.
So we are getting water to drink. Can we create water in our labs? Somebody may say, yeah, water is H2O, two components, two elements of hydrogen, one element of oxygen, you can create water. Okay, even if it is H2O, two elements of hydrogen and water, to create that water in your lab environment, you need to have perfect pressure, perfect temperature, perfect volume, perfect setting in the laboratory, and then maybe you will be able to create a drop of water. And first of all, who gave you that hydrogen and oxygen to create that water? And in the nature, so much abundant water is available. So who is supplying that water? And we are utilizing that water to sustain ourselves. Without water, we cannot live. Then there is air. Can we live without air? What do we breathe? Oxygen. Can we create oxygen in the lab? And how much oxygen do we breathe in a day? Anybody knows how much oxygen we inhale on a daily basis? This one cylinder of oxygen is about like 2 liter cylinder. If you count that, we are inhaling about 3 cylinders like that on a daily basis. And if we have to pay for the cost of that much oxygen, how much will that be? Anybody knows? So one cylinder of oxygen will cost about $40 to $70. So you will be inhaling about more than $100 oxygen on a daily basis, one person. So we are getting this air, water. Then rain. So we are getting so much rain which sustain all these crops, these trees, the flowers, the plants, because of which the grains grow, which we eat. Can we create rain? So we cannot create the rain in the lab. Somebody will say, yeah, we can. Haven't you heard of artificial rain these days? Anybody has heard of artificial rain? At least one person. So what is artificial rain is? They say, we can create rain also now. What do they do is, they go to a cloud which hasn't condensed yet. So there is no condensation. So they go in some plane or something, put some silver iodide, and then the condensation happens and it starts pouring water. And they try to drift the cloud to certain particular location where they want to have the rain. So to have that much happen, you know how much expense it is to blow the cloud to a particular location and then go up and put four tons of silver iodide. And first of all, they are just doing this secondary part of clouding. It's called cloud seeding, okay, artificial rain. But for first place, from where did the cloud come? We cannot create cloud in the laboratory. So all these things, all these gifts given to us in nature, and then sunlight. So there is abundant sunlight there. Without sunlight, it will be very hard to live. No light, no heat. In cold winter weathers, when there is no sun out, you are feeling so much depressing, right? When there is no sun. And so all these gifts are given to us in nature. Water, air, rain, sunlight, moonlight. And if we have to pay for all these things, how much will be the bill? Everybody has water line at your home, electricity, gas line. And we use little bit of that. And how much bill are you paying on a monthly basis? So if you have to pay the bill to sun, the moon, water, rain, if you have to pay the bill to all these different entities, I don't think anybody will be able to pay all that. We all will go bankrupt. So we are receiving these gifts on a daily basis. So we have debts to pay to all these different personalities. Somebody will say, oh, all these gifts are given in nature. It's nature is giving all these things. So but who is behind this nature? Who is providing all these facilities? So we have debts to pay, and the scriptures define we have debts to pay to about six different type of personalities. What is that? Deva, Rishi, Bhutapta, Narana and Pitrana. What are these six things? Deva. So all these Devi Devatas who are the in charge of all these various facilities. So we have the debts to pay towards that. Rishi. So we have debts to pay towards the Rishis, the sages. How we have debts towards them? Because they have given so much of knowledge. They have written down all this knowledge in scriptural form, written form. So we have debts to pay towards them. Then Bhuta. Bhuta is all your close family, relatives. Sorry, Bhuta is all the living entities. We have debt to all the living entities. I'm not talking about our relatives, friends, society. All the living entities. Even the earthworm, the cow, the trees. So we have the debt towards them. Because without earthworms, our crops cannot grow. The plants cannot grow. If there is no cow, you will not get milk. Without the trees, there will be no fruit. And we use the tree to get fruits, to get the shade in the summer weather. So we have debt to pay towards all the living entities. And apta. Apta is all our relatives. So your close family, your wife, your kids, your parents. So we have debt towards them. Because of the parents, we got this body. Without parents, you will not have this body. And this body is such a wonderful machine. This body, we are not this body. We are the owner of this body, residing within this body. So this body is like a machine. And nobody can create that kind of wonderful machine. So you put food through your mouth, goes to your belly, and the whole body gets nourished. In the same way, the cow. Cow is also, in one sense, it's one particular type of body for the living entity. And such a wonderful machine. You put grass from one side and it gives milk from the other side. Can you create that kind of machine? Putting grass from one side, getting milk from the other side. So wonderful arrangement in nature. And Narana. Narana means all the society. Not just your close family members. The whole society, because the society is which has given this culture, the tradition is coming through the society. And Pitranam is all our ancestor. So we have debts to pay towards all these various personalities. And let's see what Bhagavad Gita says, what Krishna says, what we are supposed to do. So in Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, Krishna is describing how we can pay the debt to all these devatas or the controller of all these material necessities in nature. So chapter 3, I will read the two shlokas. Chapter 3, text 11 and 12. Devan bhavyatanena te deva bhavyantuvah parasparam bhavyantah shreya parmavaspatah. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you. And thus, by cooperation between man and demigod, prosperity will reign for all. In the next one, Ishtan bhogan hi bodeva dasyante yagya bhavitaha te dattam apradhebhyo yobhunte stena evasaha. In charge of various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yagya, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gift without offering them to demigods in return is certainly a thief. Stena evasa. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Lord Krishna is describing how we are supposed to pay our debts to the demigods. Because demigods, somebody may say, oh, it's given on nature. But the nature, there are some controller who are controlling various facilities of life. So somebody is controlling rain. Somebody is controlling the sun, moon, somebody is controlling the air, the water. All these necessities are provided by all these different Devi Devatas. They are the administrators in Lord's government who are providing all these facilities. So we have debt towards all of them, and how we are supposed to pay all this debt? By doing the yagyas. So when we do the yagyas, so Devatas also become pleased and they provide all these necessities of life. But in the next shloka, Krishna says, if somebody enjoys all these facilities without offering it back to the demigods, without paying our debts to the demigods, he is certainly a thief. A very strong word. So in this material world, just to understand, for example, if a group of friends traveling through some countryside, and while traveling, you see a big palace. You're tired, hungry and all that. So you enter into that palace. Abundant supply of the food, water, everything in that. So you go there without looking for who is the owner of that palace, who created this palace, whom it all belongs to. So you go there and start enjoying all these facilities. And later on the owner comes and he demands, now you have to pay for all this. And so, no, we just saw this palace, we did not find anybody, and we just ate all, we just enjoyed everything. No, but it's your responsibility to first find out who is the owner of this palace, to whom all these various things belong. So you utilize those, now you have to pay for all this. So same way in this nature, all these facilities are given to us. So it's our duty to see whom it belongs to. Who is providing all these facilities, and we need to be feel indebted towards them. We need to pay back. So how we pay back? So Krishna says all these facilities are provided by the Devi Devatas. And we need to pay back to them by performing yagyas. And how the yagya is performed? So there's a fire lit, there's a grains and everything poured into that, swaha. Indraya Swaha, Chandraya Swaha, all that are going on. Somebody may think, modern civilization, right? So-called modern civilization. You think, sometimes people question, why do you put all these grains in fire and just waste all that? Why to burn up all these grains? Better to feed somebody. Somebody may question like that. So, but this is a system created to send our taxes to the demigods. So, like we transfer money from one place to another, you may send a money order. So, what do? You have a money order, you deposit in a box, and it will reach that person. So, there is a system to send from one place to another place. So, now in a more advanced way, scientific technology development, we send money by wire transfer. Right? Wire transfer is from one account, it goes to another account. So if human beings can develop that kind of a sophisticated system to transfer from one place to another place, why not these demigods, who are the higher beings, they can develop this kind of a subtle method of transferring from one place to another place. So these yajnas are performed to pay our debts, to pay our taxes to the Devi Devatas. Fourth, all these various necessities provided. So now in your home, you're using all these facilities, gas, electricity, water. If you don't pay the bill, what will happen? Eventually they will cut off the supply. Right? So same way, if we keep using these nature's resources without paying our debts, what happens? There is scarcity of those necessities of life. There's sometimes no rain. Sometimes the sun doesn't come out for so many days. Because people are not performing the yajnas to pay our debt, to feel, at least to feel indebted towards the higher resources of nature. It's like paying our taxes. So you live in a country, every country has a tax system. So country is providing all these facilities. You have the roads, schools, parks, hospitals and everything. And then you pay taxes for utilizing all these facilities. So if you don't pay the taxes, what happened? What happened if you don't pay the taxes? What are we called? Tax thief. Right? So what Krishna is saying here, if you don't pay the debts to these Devi Devatas, stena eva saha, you are the thief. Because you haven't paid your taxes to these demigods. Now, either we pay our taxes or somebody can deny paying the taxes, willingly not paying the taxes. So there are two terms used, one is tax evasion and one is called tax avoidance. Everybody familiar with those terms? So what is tax evasion? Accounting people, financial people. So tax evasion is when you willingly don't pay the taxes. And what is tax avoidance? Tax avoidance. So there is a legal way to avoid taxes. How is that? You put your money in 401k, show so much money, and you don't have to pay tax on that amount. You put some in some funds or something. You do some charity, you can give charity to the Detroit ISKCON temple, you will get tax rebate on that. So there are some ways where you can avoid taxes paying on certain amount. So that is tax avoidance. So we have to pay the taxes to all these Devi Devatas. Now there are 33-40 Devi Devatas. So Krishna, if we just read these two verses, somebody will think, okay, I understood the message, we have to do yajnas, I will go home tomorrow, I will do yajna. But there are 700 shlokas. Krishna is building verse by verse. And it just happens on a weekly basis. We just discuss one or two verses. And in that way, it will take maybe 8-10 years to complete whole 700 shlokas to understand the essence, the complete message. But Prabhupada is so merciful. What Krishna is giving at the end, Prabhupada is giving in every purport. Prabhupada is giving the essence of in every shloka, in every purport. So in the end, Krishna finally says, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. So you can abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. I will take care of everything. So somebody will say, okay, if I surrender to Krishna, will I not be called stain by not paying the debts to all these demigods? So Krishna says, no, you will not be called a thief. Why? sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papeshu. I will take care of everything. You will not have to pay any debts. You will not be called as a saint for not paying all those debts. So Prabhupada, even though Krishna in this particular verse is saying you have to perform yajnas to please these devi devatas, Prabhupada is giving the essence right here also. If you submit to Krishna, if you surrender to Krishna, there is nothing, no obligation left behind. And actually there is a nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which describes what type of debts we have and how we can get rid of that debts. So this is the method called tax avoidance. So as in your material income, you can do tax avoidance. So same way, to avoid paying the debts or the taxes to all these different entities, is there any method? So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the discussion between Narad Muni and Vasudev, so Narad Muni describes one shloka, says, Devarishi Bhutatpa Naranam Pitranam Nankinkaro Nayam Rinicharajan Sarvatmanaja Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Prihityakartam. So in general we have debt to pay towards all these various things. What is it? Devarishi Bhutatpa Naranam Pitranam. But Nankinkaro Nayam Rinicharajan. One will not be called as a servant or the debtor towards these personalities. How? Sarvatmananja sharanam sharanya. If one completely surrenders unto whom? Gato Mukundam Parihritya Karatam. If somebody surrenders, takes shelter of Mukunda, completely submits to Mukunda, he is not a debtor to all these various personalities. So that is the tax avoidance system in our progress for spiritual life. So if we completely just take shelter of the Supreme Lord, we are free from all these debts. Otherwise, there are so many debts to pay. There are 33 crore Devi Devata. If we are just taking about the first category, right? Devas. 33 koti. Somebody starts thinking, I will try to please all these 33 koti Devi Devata. First of all, you may not know the name of all those 33 crore. And if you put an altar, you want to put the picture of everybody, how many will you fit there? Maybe 8, 10, 12. And you start take an incense and start offering everybody. If you have to offer to all these 33 crore, I don't think you will have any time left to do anything else. So, the system given here is if one takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, he is freed from all these debts. So we need to feel gratitude towards the Supreme Lord, who is the controller of everything. That is the real essence of thanksgiving. If we have to give thanks to anybody at all, first of all we have to give thanks to the Supreme Lord. But we are so busy with all these mundane things. Oh, I want to thank that person. He gave me, he did something, some favor to me. Here is the Supreme Lord who is doing unlimited favors to us. And we don't think about the Supreme Lord. We think, oh, it's his duty to provide all these facilities. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm here, you are there, in your world. So you stay there. So you do your leela there. Just provide me the necessity so I can do my leela here. Let me keep doing all these various activity keep going on. So like that in Russia, when the communists came, they asked people, okay, you go to church, you pray to the Lord, can Lord give you your daily bread? Then why don't you do one thing, go to church and ask the Lord to give you your daily bread. So they prayed. So I guess it is the time when there was some famine, there's no rain, nothing. So they did not get bread for a couple of days, and the communists came with a truckload full of bread and they distributed bread to all the people. See, we are providing you the bread. So rather than worshipping the Lord, praying to the Lord, you should thank this party, communist party. We are providing you this thing. So we don't see the hand of God who is providing. Somebody may become the instrument to provide, through the Lord, but we become so attracted towards that particular person that, oh, I need to be thankful towards that. It's ultimately the Lord who's providing us everything. So same way, there is another very nice pastime, the story. There was once an old lady, and she has deep faith in Krishna. Old, poor lady, she has nothing. She is just depending on Krishna. He will provide all these necessities of life. And whenever she gets something, she looks up and says, "Thank you, Krishna, for providing me this." And there was one neighbor who was kind of an atheist. And he is very frustrated. Oh, why she is always talking about Krishna, Krishna. What is Krishna doing? And he had a plan one day. He said, he went to the market, he bought all those necessities of life, all the groceries he did. He came with all those bags and put the bag at the door of that old lady's house. Knocked on the door and went, ran, hid behind a tree. Just wanted to have fun. Let me see what this woman do now. So the old lady opened the door. She saw all these bags full of grocery. Immediately she looked up. Oh, thank you, Krishna, for providing all that. This person immediately jumped out of the tree. This is not your Krishna who gave you all that. See, I went to market. I went to all these various shops. I bought all this. I paid for that. I bought this. So old lady again looked up. Oh, thank you, Krishna, for providing all these groceries and making this atheist pay the bill. So a devotee sees God's hand in everything. He sees no matter who may become the instrument, but it's ultimately Lord who is providing all these necessities of life. And the atheist person, he may be completely bewildered, no faith in God, no information at all from where all these necessities of life, all these gifts coming to us. So we need to understand the daily blessings we are counting. Even if something doesn't happen the way we want, we need to think it as a blessing in disguise. That Krishna is giving me a test or a knowledge through this particular situation. And same way, being grateful towards the Supreme Lord, towards the various in charge, and then we need to be grateful towards all the sages who has given us this knowledge. Without this knowledge, we will not be practicing this, we will not be in this particular situation. So we, our debt, especially in this Krishna conscious movement, our debt goes to Srila Prabhupada. At an old age of 70 years, he traveled to the western countries, giving this message of the Vedic scriptures, transforming the heart of people. So our sincere gratitude should be shown to these great sages, the acharyas, by their own example, who are showing us the way. And Prabhupada has given so much. He opened so many temples, wrote so many books. And these books are so valuable. Even if somebody reads some pages of a book, his whole life can be transformed. Those two sets, can you show? So, we have some gift sets here, which is the small books of Prabhupada. These are packed with knowledge, these small books. So we have this is a holiday season, Thanksgiving and then Christmas coming up. Everybody gives gift, everybody gives thanks to others. So what is the best way to give thanks to others is giving them this knowledge, sharing with them this knowledge. So we have these gift sets of 5 small books, and the gift set costs $10. So there are 2 different type of gift sets, so 5 different type of books. And then there is Bhagavad Gita, and there are sets of Bhagavad Gita. So there is a Bhagavad Gita sets, 3 book sets of Bhagavad Gita. So how we can feel grateful towards Srila Prabhupada is by distributing his books. If we give these gifts to others, rather than giving any other mundane gifts, somebody will use it for some time. But if here these books so powerful, if somebody reads few lines, few pages, his life can be transformed. So to feel grateful towards Prabhupada, what the best we can do is to bring more and more souls towards Sri Radha Kunja Bihari. To share this knowledge with others. To count these blessings even in our life, it's unlimited, it's hard to count all these blessings. here for 45 minutes. We have blessing from so many different sources. How we can feel grateful towards others? So if you want to feel grateful towards others, first of all, it should be each and everyone. And we can, what we can do is write down any particular occasions of being grateful to somebody. It could be any occasion where you felt the blessings of Lord flowing towards you. Start a gratitude journal maybe. Write down the name of people who were any contribution in your life, any small, significant or insignificant contribution in your life. And another way to feel grateful is to learn to forget. Because we are holding on to so many things in our heart, in our mind, which makes it difficult to feel grateful. So if we can learn to forget, if we can write down the names of some people whom we need to forget, it could be anything, small or big. It could be as small as somebody's maybe sarcastic comment, which you did not like. Right? So if we can implement these basic things in our life, then we can develop the virtue of gratitude. And with the virtue of gratitude, all other virtues eventually develop. So this gratitude of attitude is a first necessity to develop, to make our heart fertile, to develop in devotional life, to make our heart soft, to feel gratitude. So we need to first of all feel gratitude towards the Supreme Lord. And how we can feel gratitude towards the Supreme Lord? There is no yajna we have to perform that, okay, tomorrow I have to do some yajna. In Kali Yuga there is a very simple process. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the easiest yajna for Kali Yuga. And that yajna is the chanting of the holy name, the Sankirtan Yajna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the most easiest to perform yajna, no expense, no cost. Anybody can do, any place, anywhere, anytime. And if we can perform that yajna, we can show our gratitude towards the Supreme Lord. And in Kali Yuga, there is no other better way to feel grateful to the Supreme Lord rather than chanting of His holy name. Hare Ranam, Hare Ranam, Hare Ranam, Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. So in Kali Yuga, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way than the chanting of the holy name, chanting of the holy name, chanting of the holy name. So thank you very much for listening attentively. I have no quality actually. It's not that I'm expert in or I have a great attitude of gratitude. I'm also learning and trying to implement these qualities and just trying to share a little bit, but I'm trying to learn and implement in myself. So please forgive me. Please correct me if I spoke anything wrong. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Kunj Bihari ki jai. So any comment, questions? Thank you. So again, there are gift sets of Srila Prabhupada books. Who can you hand me two gift sets? So there are actually two different type of book set. Each set has five books. It's a very condensed knowledge. So coming back, the life comes from life, easy journey to other planets, the topmost yoga. So like that there are different books and each set is just $10. So just think about it, $10, what you can do with $10. $10 is maybe just one meal at McDonald's or Burger King or wherever. And with $10, one can get quality information in your fingertips. And it can change your own life and the life of others. So please consider getting these gift sets for yourself and for other people whom you can help with progressing in their lives. And then there is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is, the hardbound Bhagavad Gita is $10. And there is a gift set of Bhagavad Gita, which is three books of Bhagavad Gita, which is $30. And as we announced in the beginning, there is Gita Jayanti coming up. Gita Jayanti is when Lord Krishna gave this knowledge. He spoke this knowledge to Arjuna. So the actual day of Gita Jayanti is November 29th, Wednesday. So we will be celebrating Gita Jayanti in temple on Sunday. So there will be a yajna and the whole recitation of all the 700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. So with each shloka we are pouring the sacrifices into the yajna. So please come participate in that auspicious activity of the whole Bhagavad Gita recitation. And we have been doing to train kids in that way. We are conducting a shloka competition. So this year it's a third annual shloka competition where kids memorize the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita and they recite on stage in front of the audience. And so there is a competition event. They have to recite the shlokas, answer some question answers. There will be a judge panel. So that is a competition event for kids, to grow kids, to help kids to develop this kind of qualities from their early age. So if you have anybody you know, you can get further information about this competition if you would like your kids to participate in that. So that is on December 10th, week after. So the next 2 weeks is all related to Gita Jayanti activities, and we encourage everybody to participate in book distribution and receiving the gift of Bhagavad Gita and giving it to others. So you can sponsor Bhagavad Gita, the whole set of Bhagavad Gita or the box of Bhagavad Gita. And if you need more information, there is a book table outside, so you can acquire more information or you can talk to Braj Kumar Prabhu or Nityakrishna Prabhu to get more information about how to sponsor books. So thank you very much. Shila Prabhupada ki jai.